We do have the minutes of our May 14th, 2007 meeting in our packet. Let's see, our new lead, Representative Garofalo, would you like to move?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll move the minutes from the 14th.
Okay, Representative Garofalo moves approval of the minutes from Monday, May the 14th, 2007. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. I do want to point out with the resignation of Representative Steve Swigum, who had been the lead Republican on the committee. Representative Garofalo has been appointed as the lead Republican on the committee. Welcome in your new role. And in addition to that, we have Representative Bud Heidegerken. He has been appointed to the committee as well. That was the vacancy that was created by Representative Swigum's resignation. So Representative Heidegerken, welcome to the committee.
we vote on that? That's how we gamble.
Would you like a roll call on that one? Today we will be discussing the working draft of the 2007 disaster relief bill. We will not be taking official committee action because we are not officially in session until 5 o'clock this afternoon. Changes made to the working draft today in committee will be incorporated into the document and be included in the bill when it is introduced. We will operate, of course, under our normal committee rules, and we'll be taking testimony today. If you're interested in testifying about our working documents, please sign up in the back of the room. We've also asked the Commissioner of Finance or someone from his office be here to answer questions from the administration's perspective. Is there someone here from Finance? Is the Commissioner here or his designee? Maybe not yet, but we'll... They would tell us that they'll have somebody here at some point if we have questions from administration. We also have other members that have indicated that they would like to sit in on the committee, and the only point I would like to make, if you're not on the committee, it may be necessary to sit perhaps in the front row of the audience. This is a 39-member committee, and with two or three staff, it's a rather full table. So if it appears that there is going to be some vacancies, you're more than welcome to be at the table, but we should give preference to committee members. I'm reminded, that's right, we're back up to 40 again. So with that, Representative Pawlowski will be one of the authors of the disaster relief bill, and we'll do the presentation here today with support from Ms. Novak and perhaps other staff members will also join in when we get into the fiscal question. I was told by Ms. Dornfeld, our committee administrator, that the numbers did change a little bit. And so there is a second sheet that has been distributed with the updated numbers. So how shall we distinguish which one will work? These two are the same. Okay, but members may have one in their packet and then another one. They have the correct one? Okay. They would be different from the bill. That's it. These numbers on these handouts would be slightly different as they refine the numbers then from the bill. Okay, with that, whenever you're ready, Representative Pawlowski, to begin the overview. And you did have one practice run already, so we should hear great things.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm getting a little bit better at it. This is Representative Shumpert's bill, and he is milking right now. So I think he's probably doing a better job of milking than I would, and I'll try to do a good job against Bill, and when he comes back, we can merge the two together. The bill that you have before
when
you...
When you merge them together, do you plan on going to the farm to milk tonight?
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I consider myself a rural legislator. I spend a great deal of time on green areas. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the bill that you have before you is the bill that will address both the disasters in southern Minnesota and also the bridge in Minneapolis. I'm going to walk you through this as slowly as I can, giving you the information that I have, and then if you have questions, I'll try to respond or we'll have staff respond. So I want to draw your attention to page 2, section 2, where you see subdivision 1. Subdivision 1, and there is a word I'll probably use a great deal in this piece of legislation, flexibility. This allows for the transference and the movement of money where needed between departments and agencies. So subdivision 1 will allow a great deal of flexibility in the bill to reassign those particular dollars where the departments need them most. Subdivision 2 is language to prevent double dipping, and this would be that if it's already funded by the federal government, the state then would not pay for it, so there would be a prevention on double dipping. When you get to page 3, we begin the appropriations. And Mr. Chair, I think you already said there's a sheet that's in your packet, and it has on the back, I believe, 9/11/2007, 11:20 a.m. mark. That's the current appropriation spreadsheet. That one probably would be the better one to refer to specific numbers, and whether it is a trunk highway funding, general obligation bond, or GO bond. That designation is not sometimes clear when you're looking at it in the bill. So when you're going to page 3, we begin the public safety, and you can see the appropriations going down. I want to draw your attention to lines 3.23 through 3.28, where the state picks up what wouldn't be picked up in its general fund for debris and maintenance removal. Subdivision 4, where you have grants for debris and removal, this is to address the concern where FEMA may not cover areas outside of municipalities, and this language is there to address those areas. When we go to page 4, we're going to transportation, and this is a considerable chunk of bonding. We have in subdivision 2 infrastructure investment support. This is really operation and maintenance. You can see the local bridge and road rehabilitation and replacement fund. Those of you that were on the tour for capital investment or see the pictures that are the picture that's up on the screen.
Yes. I just had a request from one of the members about questions, and I'll defer to you. Would you like to present the bill or take questions as you go?
Mr. Chair, why don't we walk through the whole bill first? I prefer that, and then go back, and we can take it section by section. It's a little bit easier that way, and because this is a large committee, otherwise we could get bogged down. And if I can walk through the bill and highlight it first, and then we can come back.
Okay, I admit, Mr. Chair, that the totality
of my knowledge is limited to about 3 hours. So
jot down your questions.
You're going to hear as much as I know, and then I'll do my best. Mr. Chair, I'm going to move to page 5, and I'm going to just highlight certain sections that either members or staff have highlighted for me. Subdivision 2, this is facility damage. This particularly addresses the state parks. We have a number of state parks in southeastern Minnesota. In fact, we have some of the oldest parks in the park system there. This would address damage that has been done to the park. On page 6, the Bowser money. This was discussed somewhat in the Capital Investments Committee, and there's an ongoing discussion in the negotiations whether this is going to be bonding or cash, or whether it's going to be bonding and cash. And as I was told about an hour ago, this is still open and it's still under negotiation. When we move to page 7 for the employment and economic development, we have a section that, again, on subdivision 2, we have a waiver of criteria. This addresses primarily businesses, but I want to draw your attention on page 7 to lines 7.23 through 7.27. And the language says, including businesses that provide residential, health care, child care, social, or other services on behalf of the Department of Human Services. We had a number of businesses that were impacted that relates to this, and there was one that in particular that was in Representative Drazkowski's district, but the Home and Community Options actually resides in Winona, where they had a structure that had damage of $250,000, and of course there's no budget for that. It's hoped that the flexibility of this language and the preceding language that I already explained would allow a Home and Community Options to address those concerns. So I know some of you had questions dealing with that as a result of the term that should do it. At least we hope it does it for now. The oversight is on page 8. There was an issue that was brought up about the oversight, because there is flexibility for the local units of government to devise their own criteria, and that oversight is on page 8. The oversight is by the various commissioners and then, of course, by the legislature. It's also my understanding that this is something that we have done in the past. This isn't anything new, so that this language was done in previous disasters. We have on subdivision 3 public infrastructures addressed here, including storm sewers, wastewater, municipal utility service. This was a concern, particularly in Rushford, where their waste treatment plant was inundated, and there may have to be a replacement of that plant of about $7 million. That plant was totally flooded, and all of the waste was driven out of the plant, and then silt was put into their waste treatment plant. So that's an issue that is going to be addressed. Housing finance, again, flexibility is the key here. This is general fund money. As you look on page 9, here we have individuals will be addressed in subdivision 2. The picture that's on the screen gives you a dramatic example, I think, of the number of homes that were impacted by the floods, particularly in Rushford, but certainly in Goodview, in Stockton, in Minnesota City. There was a great deal of destruction to private homes. On page 9, subdivision 10, the Minnesota Historical Society. This is an issue that many individuals have brought forward. We have a number of historic sites. And Mr. Chair, for clarification, I've been told on 9.29, where it says historic sites, it may be better at whatever point we're going to do this to say, instead of site structure, that site designates a Fort Snelling, and it doesn't necessarily designate a structure. So I've been told by the Historical Society that it might be best to change that word, and I realize that this is a negotiated item, but I want to bring it forward again for flexibility, that this money could be used the best way it could. The education dollars, many of you who are on the tour saw what happened to Rushford schools, but Rushford wasn't the only school that was hit. We have a number of related items dealing, for instance, with Houston public schools. The only way some students can get to Houston is through a bridge in Money Creek. That bridge is gone. Those students are going to be going to Winona. So you see, starting on page 10, a series of different funds to address concerns related to the disaster, from facilities grants to transportation aid to ensuring that we're holding schools harmless that are going to lose purposeful units as a result of this. So you have a number of them. Then on page 11, there's some specificity here dealing with, in subdivision 4, Houston School District, Lewiston School District, and then on subdivision 6 on page 11, 11.19 through 11.30, there is a sum of money, $90,000. This, again, is one of those flexibility sections. This would allow the department to address concerns that aren't addressed in specificity in the bill, and that the department could then take this money, and you can see the criteria here would be above FEMA or above insurance, and address concerns in other school districts. At the bottom, under revenue, you see general fund for $1 million. On page 12, this is, I guess, boilerplate language on bond sales. On Again, page 12, section 15, we have waiver authorization. This, again, is to ease the facilitation of the various different ways we are dispersing state resources in this bill. On page 13, again, may bring some problems, and this is still under negotiations, but on section 13, the use of the National Employment Grant, it's my understanding that there may be more language here that's needed to implement the $3 million from the U.S. Department of Labor, so there may be some clarification language here. Human Services, Section 17. This, again, would allow some flexibility for child care in particular, that if you have an individual that's moved and needs child care and they've moved out of this area, that child care would still be available. On page 13, section 18, property tax abatement. This is a huge issue that came up in the hearing that was held by Capital Investment in Winona. Every local unit of government that came before us, and there must have been at least a dozen, brought up the property tax abatement that would be needed in order to address the flooding. On page 14, there is language that starts on page 13 that is at the request of the Department of Revenue for city replacement aid. And then I'm going to jump most of the rest of this, starting on section 20, disaster aid for extending business property taxes. This is relatively boilerplate, and I'm going to jump to page 19. Page 19 is an issue that came up. There is a great deal of agricultural land in that area. This would hold those classifications constant for ag property. I think Representative Junkie is here. This is one item that would be in the purview of his committee, but I believe there's going to be another $4.5 million that will be ag-related that's going to come into the bill through ag finance. When we get to page 20, we have, again, section 22, subdivision 11, lines 20.6 through 20.20. This is the waiver for truth in taxation. This is only for this particular disaster, and again, it is to allow flexibility for those local units of government in addressing the disaster. Article 2 is the I-35 bridge. The first section is a match of $2 million, and then the section 2 deals with the LAC and the facilitation of dealing with the LAC. Article 3 really is, let's see, general fund $2 million for aid, but when we get down to, on page 21, section 3 and 4, these are items that were in the tax bill that we vetoed. These are previous disasters that we're addressing, so while it is new language here, it is not language new to the House or new to the legislature. It was in the tax bill that was vetoed. On page 22, we have the reassessment of homestead property damaged by the disaster. This is section 6. This is somewhat controversial. Apparently, the Department of Revenue wants this. The tax people in the House say it doesn't work. So hopefully there'll be a resolution between the Departments of Revenue and our local tax people to find out language that will work. And then finally, I am going to go to page 25, section 7, temporary waivers of fees, assessments, or taxes. This is a repeated language from the 1997 disaster. So again, this isn't new. It's simply something that we've done before. Mr. Chair and members, that's the totality of my knowledge of the bill.
What was that section again? You said it was being worked on research.
Section 6, Mr. Chair, page 22. As I understand it, section 6 on page 22 was put in at the request of the Department of Revenue, but our tax people say it doesn't work. So if there's language that does, or there should be a resolution. I'm just repeating what I've been told.
Yeah, and it's someone working with Department of Revenue and our folks on that particular question. And I know the Commissioner of Finance answered it here, but how about Department of Revenue? Is someone here?
Mr. Chair, I have a non-definitive answer, as far as I know.
Perhaps someone has to know.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, the Commissioner of Revenue and I and Senate and House nonpartisan staff and Senate and House partisan staff We're working on this provision and the rest of the tax provisions, of which there are a number of changes still coming. So I should be straight and tell you that. But this particular provision, there is new language being, it's mostly done and it's agreed on by the governor's office and the House and Senate. So what we've had in the past in reassessment of property was actually didn't work very well, and it was fairly problematic, and the new language will achieve the same goal, but make it clearer to assessors. So I'm not sure when that's going to be brought forward. I don't think it will make it at the end of this committee meeting, but it has the same intent. I should note that Representative Howes had a disaster as well, and his language got omitted, and this provision will pick up the arson situation for Representative Howes, and that will come in at that point as well.
Okay. And by the way, for being this presentation is done before we go to questions, just so everybody understands, this is a negotiated document, and what the understanding is with the Speaker and the Majority Leader and the Governor, any amendments need to be signed off by all three entities so that they stay within the parameters of the agreement. So that will be one question that I will ask the maker of any amendments, you know, do all parties agree with it? And having said that, we understand that this is a work in progress. As Representative Lincheski just pointed out, the tax people have been working on some things and reached some agreements. So we may or may not have that amendment before this committee, pending how quickly they get that turned around and up in the revisor's office, I assume is where it's at. So we'll go one step at a time today.
Mr. Chair, and I should say that Representative McGinnis did bring up an issue in capital investment dealing with drinking water and contamination, and that the flexibility in this bill is not, as I understand it, that to the extent that it can address her concern at this point. So she had brought up a real concern considering the karst topography of this area and the vast contamination of both private and public wells. So hopefully we'll get a resolution of that.
Yeah, and Representative Kowalski and Representative Wagenius, I understand that that's another work in progress as we speak. Representative Wagenius?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kowalski, I do see places in the bill where we could fairly easily choose the language if all parties agree, and hopefully on something as fundamental as drinking water, that they would. But under the public infrastructure point on page 8, we could have from that money grants to the Department of Health for immediate testing of contaminants in public water systems that could have gotten into the system because of the wells. That's a possibility, but I think this is one of the things that Ms. Novak would certainly be the one to talk about.
And Representative Lucinius, that particular appropriation won't work for that purpose because it's a bonding appropriation and it has to be for capital investment purpose. We need to find a general fund to cope with it.
That is the kind of thing I think. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think what we need to do is make sure that public wells are tested for contaminants beyond just bacteria, and that private wells that have been tested and found to have bacteria need to be further tested, and that, of course, would have to be general fund money too. So I see those as the two things, and then under the public infrastructure, if changes need to be made to those drinking water systems, I think we need to allow those changes to be made. So that would be three things that I think would get us a long way to helping out folks with drinking water. If that's suitable to you,
Mr. Chair, if it is suitable to me, and I would hope that we would find somewhere in this bill where that could be addressed. Because I have to drink the water. So I have a concern.
Okay, we have several people that have raised their hands to be recognized, and We'll go by the list, and Representative Coles will be the first one. Representative Coles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't want to monopolize time by any means, so if I'm going on too long, if I have a number of questions, feel free to tell me to move it along. I'll keep my questions short. Maybe Representative Kowalski can try to keep the answers short as well. The first one, Mr. Chair, and I think this is for Ms. Novak. This is more a comment. As we go through, try to fix the bill, I think on line 3.7, that should read 19.5 million, not 20.5 million, at least if I do the math right, and so hopefully we can fix that. The second question is on the same page, line 3.25. I don't know if we've ever done, how we've handled the match in the past that's required, as I understand, under federal law. Have we done 100% match from the state before, or are we setting new precedent here?
Mr. Chairman and members, for all of the past three major disasters, the 1997 flood, the 98 tornado, and the 2002 flood in Roseville, we provided 100% of the match.
Thank you, Ms. Novak. Mr. Chair, Representative Kowalski or Ms. Novak, on page 6, section 6, the Bowser money. The language on 615 and 616 to acquire conservation easements from landowners on marginal lands in the area included, does that, and this is just a question because I don't know the answer, does that allow Bowser to use eminent domain, or is that does that require a voluntary landowner to enter into one of those easements? I see Representative Wilgini is shaking her head that it requires that they can't use eminent domain. Okay, Mr. Chair, Representative Albinius, I certainly trust that she's telling me the straight scoop on that, so I appreciate that. Mr. Chair, Representative Kowalski, Section 8, page 7, the Minnesota Investment Fund, and maybe you said this if you were talking about that section, I apologize. Is that going to allow some of our mom-and-pop retail businesses on the streets to access those funds?
Mr. Chair, Representative Coles, yes. This is language that addresses those local businesses. And if you were on the Capital Investment Tour or you've seen the pictures, particularly in Rusher, the entire business district is literally wiped out. So this would address that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kowalski, on page 9 under the housing, I just am not familiar, line 9.3 and 9.4, I'm not familiar with the challenge program. Can somebody tell me what that is?
Ms. Novak.
Mr. Chair and members, my understanding is that this is one of the more flexible programs of the housing finance agencies. It provides loans and I believe they can be forgivable loans and low-interest loans for improvements to housing, for rehabilitation of housing.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Novak, would that include residential properties, or does it have to be, are there restrictions? I can follow up with Representative Clark, but I just want to understand what the program is.
Ms. Novak.
Mr. Chair, my understanding is all residents.
Okay.
And that's the point, Representative Wilgini?
Yes, if I could. Was that including replacing a drinking water well if the well was found decontaminated?
I don't know.
I think it was helpful to find out because that may be part of the solution to.
Is there anybody in the audience that's knowledgeable on that?
No.
Apparently not, so we'll have to see. Representative Cole.
Mr. Chair, I'm getting close here. Page 13, section 17. This is the human services provider payments continued. Is there a process that will be in place? Maybe, I don't know, Representative Huntley, I don't know if this is falls under your committee or not, but are we going to be making full payments to facilities regardless of whether the people are there? I understand and agree with the concept of making sure they can reopen when people can re-inhabit the facility, but is there going to be any assessment made or any calculations made in terms of what it actually costs to keep the lights on and get the building repaired? I want to make sure we're not creating a double dip or a windfall type situation.
Representative Kowalski, Ms. Novak.
See, Mr. Chair, I couldn't answer that.
Mr. Chair and members, the only control that seems to be put on this is that they do have to apply to the commissioner for the funds, and they do have to certify that they intend to open and operate normally. And the time is limited to March 31st, 2008, so it's for a relatively short period of time.
Mr. Chair, I'll follow up if I have further questions on that with staff. One last question, Mr. Chair. Representative Pawlowski, I was surprised as I was going through to see Article 2 in here, not that I don't want to see the bridge rebuilt, but it caught me by surprise because I thought we were coming here to talk about flood relief. Can you just talk me through the why behind that? I think I understand the $2 million, but the $53 million, is that federal money, and is that just language that's necessary to appropriate that federal money?
Mr. Chair, Representative Polk, first of all, I did not negotiate the bill.
Understood.
So it's in there because it's negotiated out in between leadership and bipartisan leadership. Secondly, I'm going to let Ms. Novak answer the specific part of the question.
Mr. Chair and Representative Polk, under the Constitution, we have to spend money with an appropriation, and since the legislature was not in session when the federal grant was received, they have their process in place to go to the LAC. This circumvents that process to the LAC and actually appropriates the federal grant to the Department of Transportation to use it for the purposes that it was given. It's federal money that we appropriate.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. And Representative Pawlowski, thanks for the presentation of the bill and for helping out Representative Schumper.
Okay, Representative Trish. Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question maybe for Representative Pawlowski, but definitely for staff. Just a clarification. I know in some areas there's waivers, but I'm wondering when you talk about business assistance, if nonprofits are included within that. I know the SAP agency and others just want to make sure it's not explicit in the language, but just on the record that the nonprofits are included.
Representative Sir, yes, they are included.
Thank you. Representative Stein?
Mr. Chairman, this is obviously kind of a moving target since we don't even have all the language of the bill. If one wants to propose an amendment to the bill, what is the process for getting the agreement of the three parties? Are they in the room, or are they...
The process that I understand is that you have to go through the Speaker's office, and then I assume someone within the Speaker's office will be contacting the Majority Leader and the Governor's office. The Commissioner of Finance is here that's been involved. Is that your understanding of the process, Commissioner?
Yeah.
So if you do have an amendment, get in touch with the Speaker's office as the beginning point. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to ask a question on page 4. Section 4.11, Infrastructure Investment Support, $5 million. What does that mean? What's the Infrastructure Investment Support?
Mr. Chair, Representative, Operation and Maintenance is what I have for it.
Operation, Mr. Chair, operation and invest and what? Maintenance of what?
Mr. Chair, as I understand it, this language is also under negotiation right now, but the intent is for operation and maintenance. This is under Section 4, which deals with transportation. In the areas that were hit, particularly by the flooding, we have a huge amount of both operational needs where we've lost equipment. In fact, in some areas, all the equipment was lost, and maintenance. Maintenance not just to equipment, but maintenance also to the highways themselves. So those of you that were on the bonding tour, the road that goes from Houston to Holka, which was the only artery left for Houston for about 3 weeks, would be closed under normal circumstances. Whole sections of that road no longer exist. Where there were once shoulders, there are nothing now but orange cones. And it doesn't go for hundreds of yards. It goes for miles. So when we're talking about operation and maintenance, one of the things that came out in the hearing in Winona
was that a visible look at both the bridges and the roads only gives us a cursory view of probably what needs to be repaired here. So again, hopefully there's going to be some flexibility built in when the totality of the language is in the bill, but there are problems beyond just the general look at this area at first blush.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we are allocating under sub 4 $26 million for local road and bridge rehab and replacement. So, I mean, that's kind of that sub 2 is kind of a nebulous something or other there. Is that just a flexible fund for wherever it's needed or what?
Mr. Chair, Representative, as I understand it, it's going to change to read infrastructure operation and maintenance. That's going to be the change that's going to be done there.
Oh, well.
And for the, at the direction of the Department of Transportation.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Representative Mahoney.
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Chair. Looks like Representative Wagninius has left her chair anyhow, and I was just wondering, we were both on the tour last Wednesday, and my memory is always short when I'm as old as I am, but I thought there was a dollar figure associated with how much it was going to cost to test per well, and there's an awful lot of wells down there, so I was just wondering if she had a dollar figure in mind that she was talking about. It wasn't just hundreds of dollars to test and clean a well, but it was thousands of dollars to test and clean a well. So I will ask her later, but that is something that we probably would love to, I would like to know.
Okay, we can assume maybe she's working on that issue, so when she returns, we'll drop back to you, Representative Mahoney. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, I wasn't here for the entire question of Representative Wagenius, and so for the staff, on page 9, the contingency relief account is bonded. $1 million. Subdivision 4.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, know all of the appropriations for the Housing Finance Agency are general fund. It's wrong in the bill, but it will be corrected to be general fund.
So, Mr. Chair, that appropriation is strictly for the Housing Finance Agency.
Mr. Chair, and Representative Solberg, the sheet that you have in your packet, the last sheet, and on the back it's 9/11/11/20 mark. This is the latest version, and it's corrected from the bill. I think if you have a specific reference to whether it's a GO bond or a general revenue or trunk highway or whatever it might be, I think this is the latest document you should use. This is the one that's up to date.
Mr. Chairman, and
Representative
Solberg, that since it's a contingency fund, that would not be available for things like what, testing wells on private property, if it's a housing related, connecting the wells of the house.
Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, this particular appropriation is to backfill for money that has already been spent out of that fund, and I'm not certain what they spent it on disaster relief in the flood area. It's possible that the money in the contingency fund could be used for that purpose. It's also possible that, and I would have to have more information, that the capacity building grants under Subdivision 3 may be a flexible source of money to use for well testing.
Okay. I'm just trying to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Mahoney, I indicated I'd revert back to you when Representative Wagenius arrived.
I told you my memory was short. Representative Wagenius and Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, I think on the tour they were giving us some dollar figures, or they had mentioned what it would cost to clean, to test and clean a well. And if they did, do you remember it? And if not, have you looked into it and found out what it might cost to test and clean a well, an individual and a municipal well? Because you've spoken to it a number of times,
my thoughts is that in the thousands of dollars versus the hundreds of dollars, it may change what this bill needs to, the dollar figures where we need to allot money in this particular, well, where the three people who have got a vote on this get to allot money in this bill.
Representative Loganian.
Let me see if I can parse your question a little bit. For an individual test of a well, that's probably a couple hundred dollars if you are testing beyond bacteria. It costs about $10 to $12 to test a well for bacteria. And in this particular instance, the department absorbed that cost and tested 795 well people volunteered on the well testing kit. 40% were found to be have bacteria in them. Well, once you have bacteria in them, if that's the only thing in, it's probably fairly easy to deal with. But if there are other things in, first you have to know. And that probably, but maybe is $150 to test with new testing for wells. That's a rough figure that I've gotten from the Department of Ag in a previous hearing, not at this hearing. On the municipal level, I don't know the protocol for that. They have levels of protocol, and they've only tested for bacteria. They haven't tested beyond the bacteria. And I think the question here is making sure they test beyond the bacteria. They can certainly clean up.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hoyne.
Representative Virginius, in your comments on well testing, again, many of us in the room here were on the tour, and one of the concerns were the farm chemicals that were stored and flooded, and, you know, accidents happen, and that's going to have to be tested for in the drinking water and then cleaned up. So, again, we're probably going to have some clearer idea. I wholeheartedly support the idea that people down in southeastern Minnesota need to have clean drinking water. Gene drinks, Representative Pulaski drinks it, and we want him to keep coming back. So it'd be nice for us to actually get some dollar figures from whomever we need to.
That's not like any of
it. It seems to me that is an appropriate thing for the health department to present, and they've of course included in this bill. And I think that is unfortunate that they did not make the proposal, did not come here. And that's why I brought up the issue, because I think it is one that needs to be dealt with. And in some cases, if a private well is contaminated, it may be because it's a very shallow well, and you just need to dig a deeper well. We just don't know the particular.
Okay, we have, does that take care of your questions at this point? Okay, then we have Representative Slawick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Ms. Novak on page 13, section 17. The human service provider payments that Representative Coles had talked about. We had talked to you a few weeks ago about child cares and how they're affected by this. And I know at least in past tornado relief that they have also done some licensing waivers, because if they're going to continue the payments, the child care may not be able to carry on their duties of caring for children in that particular facility or home if it is wrecked, but they would waive the licensing regulations so that they could set up in another location. Is that addressed in this bill?
After the, I believe it was the 98 tornado, the Department of, at that time, Children, Families, and Learning, and now it's been transferred to the Department of Human Service, has statutory authority to waive those requirements in the event of a disaster. So they have the authority to do that.
Mr. Chair, so Ms. Novak, there's no further legislation I can use in the bill. Thank you.
On that point, Representative.
Mr. Chair, and Ms. Novak, does that apply to child care or all other kinds of
Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley, it just applies, that particular provision just applies to child care. It originated in the Department of Children, Families, and Learning.
We have Representative Pollock, were you done?
Yes.
Okay, then we have Representative Garofalo. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Representative Pawlowski, on the spreadsheets we have, do you have an approximate breakdown of what the total aid package is just for the southeastern Minnesota region portion of the bill?
Mr. Chair, Representative Scarafo, if I recall one, and my recollection was it was
if you don't have that readily available,
well,
maybe
Mr.
one
Chair,
of the panelists.
I think we do. Ms. Novak has it. I'm going to let Ms. Novak.
Oh, Ms. Novak.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Scarafo, the Southeast Minnesota Flood Relief is primarily in Article 1, and the total in the bill for Article 1 is $146.6 million. There's been minor adjustments to that that are reflected on the spreadsheet, but that's essentially the appropriation for the flood relief there.
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Novak, the preliminary disaster assessment from FEMA and from the Small Business Administration, I believe, had the seven counties disaster figure pegged at either $63 or $67 million. Do we know what criteria we used to move up from the 67, the 63, 67 to the 146? Ms. Novak?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Grassel, I don't know. These, as Representative Polsky has stated, these amounts have been negotiated and have been primarily set at the request of the departments who have been involved.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Polsky, the commissioner is here. Maybe he can enlighten us a bit on that.
Mr. Chair, in part, though, Representative Garofalo, when we took testimony in Winona last Wednesday in the capital investment hearing, we had asked the units of government, cities, counties, townships, and anyone related to them, to tell us what the need was above FEMA. So FEMA paid for X amount, then what was it above that, and then what were related costs? For instance, if you repaired something but you knew you were going to replace it, what was the cost of the repair, and then what was the cost of the replacement above FEMA? And the county engineers that testified were specific to this point, that we can give you a really soft number now because we're just trying to get these roads and bridges up, but the harder number is going to come later when, and it's going to be bigger, much bigger, when we take a look at what it's going to cost to really replace these. And I used the illustration earlier today of the road from Houston to Hokah. The road's open. I've driven it four times. I wouldn't want to drive it again, but you're going to have to, or we're going to have to, replace miles of that road in order to make it safe. So the numbers in the bill reflect, to the best of our ability, what the upscale number is going to be to replace roads, bridges, structures, and in some cases, in Rushford, housing and businesses, and helping them.
Commissioner, do you have anything to add to that, or that seems pretty well covered? Commissioner Hanson, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Representative Garofalo, FEMA, Representative Kowalski is exactly right. FEMA essentially takes a while for damage assessment, and we can't afford to wait. The people in that area need help as quickly as possible. And for those of us that were, and I look around the room, the senior members that have been around for the 02 Roseau flood and the 97 Red River Valley floods, you know, we tried to get as much money out as possible, but it was over a few years that we ended up coming back and doing flood mitigation and other things to help these communities.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, a final question on page 8, lines.
Thank you.
Page 8, lines 1 through 4. Businesses that receive grants or loans from this appropriation must set goals for jobs retained and wages paid within the area included in this. And I'm just Concern is that there may be might be creating some additional issues here. Is there a requirement that these goals be met, or are these just attempts at what we're trying to do? Commissioner, are you familiar with that language? Is it standard?
Mr. Chair, we have difficulty hearing this question.
Yeah,
I think I know what the question is, but I'm not
able to. Representative Rothwell, could you repeat the question? Sure. Mr. Chairman, on page 8, lines 1 through 4, is there any concern that this language could hamper recovery efforts? Is this something that we've done in the past? Are these simply goals that we're attempting to reach, or is there a requirement for the business to meet them? Ms. Nolay?
Mr. Chair and members, the Minnesota Investment Fund has some statutory goals for employment and wages, and those are waived in this subdivision, but in place of it, as we have done in other disasters, we've asked the businesses to establish their own goals for job retention and wages instead of abiding by the ones that are in the statute now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, Representative Benstead.
That was my question.
Okay, are there any other questions? We do have perhaps, we have at least one person and maybe others that have indicated they'd like to comment about the bill. Do we have a hand that one? Oh, we got a couple. Representative Hunley.
Mr. Chair and members, this is just a suggestion. I know this bill is a work in progress, but a lot of people that were hit by the flood have lost all their records, and including some of the people in the nursing homes, all their records are gone. And I would suggest that the three parties that are going to decide on the final bill look at some language that would allow the Commissioner of Human Services to waive or modify eligibility documentation requirements for the various programs that the Department of Human Services administers for those people that were lost their records due to the flood. And as an example, this has been done before. After Katrina, when the refugees went elsewhere, 32 states were approved by the federal government to modify their eligibility requirements, at least for the documentation part. So if someone would take a look at that before 5 o'clock.
We're going to do that in committee, any amendments would file even for before 5 o'clock under either scenario. Someone should be sure to raise that question then with the Speaker's office so it can be round robin through the process. So, Representative Hunley, I don't know if Sean Ron is here. He's been one that's been working with the Speaker. But you may want to contact the Speaker's office to make them aware and then they'll round robin it. Representative Dunphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just mentioned to the committee, I know there's a number of people in the audience and on the committee that have been wondering about the agriculture section. I do have language for both the agriculture section and as well as the Board of Water and Soil. Some of their stuff has been worked on both currently, and we put it together this morning. So just to let people know, there is another section coming on agriculture addressing such things as livestock investment grants, organic cost share, forage production payments, no interest disaster recovery loans, mental health counseling, ACRA fund is addressed, Sandpoint wells are addressed through the department, sales tax on equipment, and a number of other things. So it's about $3.5 million of general fund, and it's about I think they're plugging in about $1 million for tax issues, property and sales, and just to clarify, the Board of Water and Soil Resources is right now it's sitting at $3 million in cash and $1 million in bonding for a total of $4 million in that section. So I just wanted to update people, and if there's questions beyond that, certainly come and see me in my office or any of our staff. We're working on the ag provisions, but they've pretty much been agreed to in theory anyway by the Governor, Senate, and House at this point.
And you'll let us know when that's finalized then?
Yeah.
Is that okay? We will be taking a testimony. There's been one that has indicated at least that she would like to comment. Representative Logenius, and then we'll go to the testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Gentry, you mentioned the Bowser changes, and I do have what I believe is agreed to, which is just some change in language and cash, $1 million for conservation easements and money in cash. And one of the reasons we need to pay particularly attention to this, folks, is for those of us who were down there, these huge slides of landslides were coming into the roads. And if we don't deal with some of those landslides before the big rainy season starts in the fall and before the spring floods, we will have more landslides into the roads. And FEMA now pays for the first one, but it won't pay for the one in the, you know, for the next runoff or the spring floods. So we really do need to do some stabilizing of the banks down there. Those were amazing when you saw the size of those landslides. So there is language that has been agreed to, and if people want any more specifics, my guess is no.
Okay, we'll go then to the testimony at this point. Marcia Avner had indicated she'd like to comment. That's the only name that I have at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Flaus. My comments will be very brief. We appreciated the clarification that nonprofits are intended to be included as beneficiaries. I had one or two very brief concerns that perhaps could be addressed as negotiations go forward. If we turn to the Minnesota Investment Fund, Subdivision 2 on page 7, the language there could perhaps be amended to include businesses, including nonprofit organizations. And a concern that we have is that the language here, as well as the language on page 13, refers to the Department of Human Services. There are a number of nonprofit entities that were wiped out in the floods or severely harmed in the floods that work with other departments. And I would hope that as this language evolves and as the negotiations are finalized, that the department heads from the Department of Public Safety, Housing, and Health make sure that their grantees and their partners are included. We know that 8 units of transitional housing were wiped out in Houston County. I think that their funding comes through the Department of Public Safety. I know that there were housing units that were lost. So in the cases of emergency shelter, some of the health benefits and others, the Department of Human Services grantees may not be the only ones who need to be covered by this language. So I would hope that agency and department heads will be included in a review to be sure that at this moment in time we're as comprehensive as possible in addressing the needs of the nonprofits and their grantees and their beneficiaries, so that it's not just limited to DHS and emergency shelters and others are not included. So on this page and on page 17, where DHS is specified, there may need to be some quick consideration of what other agencies contribute so that we're not leaving unintended gaps. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Representative Huntley, would that be in your purview then, generally? We have to have somebody that's going to work with the Speaker's office to pursue that. I don't know who the best choice is.
Well, I think the question from the witness is the Department of Human Services is already covered. It's other departments that deliver similar services.
The question is just who puts the question before the Speaker to pursue it for her office. We'll work on something just to see if somebody will run that by the Speaker's office and others then, so that one can do that to him. Okay, anyone else in the audience that indicated that they would like to testify? Okay, we have some amendments that it's my understanding have been cleared. One of them is the, it's not really a new amendment, it's the changes in the numbers, that updated list that I announced at the beginning. So the chair moves to amend the disaster relief working draft with the appropriation working sheet that was presented to us at the beginning with the updated numbers. I understand these have been cleared with everyone so that these numbers can be drafted into the bill. So the chair so moves. Any discussion on that? I think that covers, I think one of the items that you raised, Representative Cole, is corrected then with this motion on the sheet. Representative Colbert.
Under the agriculture Article 3, there is a blank that is not filled in, and you'll fill that in later on.
That will be when Representative Dunkey comes forward with the amendment he's working on. It's my assumption that's when that one will be taken care of.
Very good.
So we're just taking care of the numbers that are on the sheet at this point in time that are agreed to, where there are some adjustments in the bill.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, the Historical Society number, there's no reference to that on this sheet. Does that mean that's leaving the bill?
We're not...
My misunderstanding.
They're in the bill, if I recall. Aren't they? What's the number?
It's in the bill. Yeah. Is this comprehensive?
Chair withdraws that amendment. I'm told by Mr. Marks, as we've said from the beginning, this is in a state of being worked on, and Bill is going to have yet some newer numbers for it. He's got them, but they're not copies available yet. So the chair will remain flexible today as well. So, being a Representative Pawlowski, was using that term quite frequently. So that is withdrawn, and we will resurface with that later. We also may recess after we conclude with the amendments that I at least have, while some of the others are being worked on for a few minutes. What we'll probably do is just simply recess to a call of the chair when things are done. Representative Hausman?
Mr. Chair, I think Representative Kahn asked earlier about what is the procedure for getting support from the three negotiating entities, because we have just in a very short time become aware of that the bill is opening for other issues. I think there perhaps should be some clarity, because some individuals came thinking that there was an agreed-upon product that we weren't going to be adding to, but as things get added, it does put many in an awkward position because of other similar and competing issues. So I wonder if we could have some clarity about what might happen this afternoon as new things are added that are similar to other members' issues.
Well, two things. One, this committee needs to be done by 3 o'clock, because there will be other meetings that will be taking place. No?
Well, yes. Mr. Chairman, if you'd like to call me, I can give an announcement.
Oh, okay. Representative Solberg, for further clarification.
We have posted on the Internet the cancellation of the Ways and Means Committee for 3 o'clock, and if we hold a meeting, it'll be after the 5 o'clock session cavilling us into existence.
Okay, so there may be a little flexibility on the 3 o'clock time then. We have a caucus at 3:30, so that would be the other deadline for this committee's work. But the process, as I mentioned to Representative Kahn, is that if there are any amendments that members would like, they have to be signed off on by the Speaker, Majority Leader, and the governor or the governor's representative. And the process that they would like to use from the House perspective is that any member contact the Speaker's office as the beginning point, and then the Speaker and or her staff will contact as I understand it, the governor or the governor's representative and the Senate spokesperson, who I assume is the majority leader. And if they all three agree on an amendment, then we would move forward with that amendment. That's the guidelines that we're operating under. Does that answer your question, Representative Alpine? Mm-hmm. I think that's all the knowledge that I have. Representative Junkie?
Well, just to your point of procedure, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I guess it's, I see, you know, Bud, Representative Heider, Consent Amendment, and others, but technically we have not introduced a special session bill yet, and until, which is why Solberg's committee is meeting at a minute after 5, so he can do an official budget resolution, I assume, and other things once we're gaveled in. So are we doing this, if we come back and look at amendments for informational purposes for this committee? Because technically there's no product before us until we actually gavel in. It would have made more sense, frankly, to gavel in this morning at 8, come and do our committee work so we could have had a working product and then gone to the floor. But I suspect this was done this way on purpose.
Well, we've checked with, I asked Joanna to check with Al Mathewitz's office on what the standing of any amendments that we would offer would be. And if you recall, the motion that I tentatively made was that we amend the working draft. So the speaker has asked that any amendments we take up be taken up in the finance committee. So we would be amending the working draft, and then sometime between 3 o'clock, that's kind of our other deadline, and when we would convene at 5, and we have a number of procedures, probably it'll take an hour or so to go through, just the starting up of a special session has to be roll call taken and what have you. The revisor's office then would be drafting a bill, working off the draft bill and any amendments that we would take up here and adopt that would be included then in that draft bill that would be ultimately introduced as the House File 1 of the special session, I guess.
So, Mr. Chair, are you taking up any amendments that haven't been approved by the governor and the speaker and the majority leader?
It would be my hope that people would follow the process that was put in place by the three leaders.
And so technically, if people with an election certificate want to offer amendments, they should wait till the floor then, because you're not really entertaining them here. I'm in all sincerity, because I know there's been talk, I've heard talk of other things too, but if we're essentially a working group now, working on a working draft, since we don't have an official introduced bill before us, the way I hear you. And I certainly appreciate that you're going to get a committee approval on a working draft, and that's your purview. But, I mean, officially becoming law in the state of Minnesota, we actually need something introduced, I assume.
Yeah, and I have been asked to follow the process that I announced earlier, that any amendments be run through the three leaders. So that's the scenario we'll operate under, and then I assume that there'll be further discussion on any number of issues as we move forward through the day. With that, Representative Lancheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and some members of the committee. You know, just listening to the discussion about all this, I do want to thank Senator Skoy for coming over from the Senate today, and his Senate DSL staff and the Senate nonpartisan staff, and then Representative Emmer, who pinch hit for Representative Simpson, who's the PAC lead today. He made it in, and we worked with Republican and DSL staff and nonpartisan staff, and then Commissioner Ines and Beth Padoon from the Governor's Office and others to try to work through some technical provisions on all the tax items in the bill to make a lot of things that were put together hastily with, quite frankly, none of us were involved in it, and we were trying to make those tax items work smoother for the Department of Revenue. But I think in just watching the discussion, it appears to me that amendments may be viewed as opening the agreement. So unless I, you know, hear something other from either the speaker, who's got an agreement with the governor's office and the Senate, my intention would have been to not offer a tax amendment to this, because I think people are confusing technical changes possibly with opening the bill, and I think it's important to get this done. So for those of you who've been involved this morning in trying to work through technical tax changes, I think we're going to forego that and then try to maybe do some cleanup next session, because I think we don't want to get bogged down. I see Representative Pawlowski and the restraint people from these parts of the state are showing in not wanting to get sidetracked. So I want to apologize to the committee if any of my comments earlier implied that somehow this bill was being renegotiated. That's not my understanding. These were technical changes in the tax area, and so I won't be offering that amendment.
Representative Winchesky, being that we didn't get a chance to visit, now there was that section near the end of the bill that there was disagreement about what language is necessary. Will there be an amendment dealing with that then?
Well, I don't think, Mr. Chair, I think people think that means the bill's getting opened, and that was not our intent, so... I don't think so unless the Speaker's office and along with the Governor and Senate Majority Leader Poldemiller make a different decision. So at this time, at least from the House side, we won't be doing that.
The assessment of homestead property damaged by disaster, that section that you said, or somebody said House Research had a different opinion than the Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, my only question would be to Representative Winchesky, if there is an agreement, then are we removing the language from the bill? Like, oh. It's just going to stay the way it is in disagreement?
Agreed stuff stays in, right?
Well, let's talk a little bit about this section because we're on two different tracks with it. We have some time. We're going to take up an amendment or two, and then we're going to recess to a call of the chair to make sure that if there's any other amendments, I know a couple of members that are working with the Speaker's office, and if they're successful, then we'll reconvene a little later and take those amendments up. I think it's fair to say that the leadership, with the points that are agreed upon prior to and during the day, would like to get the bill in the best possible form for introduction, the draft bill. So that's my goal, and try to get that resolved by about 3 o'clock at least, as far as we can get, and then we'll have to do whatever's necessary if we're not quite done on the floor. With that, Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to get the definition, I guess, of a technical amendment that Representative Winchesky is referring to. I don't have a dog in this fight necessarily, but and I certainly haven't gone over the education sections with anyone, but I'm just thinking that in defense of anybody who's wanting to offer something, the new two-page sheet from Mr. Mark compared to the old one has what I would call much more than technical additions. The Historical Society has added... a technical error. What about the RIM?
I think it's left out.
Feed and forage grants, livestock grants, those were all in the bill?
No. We were working on those this morning.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess that's my point. Because I know I'm just speaking up for some other members who are working on things that weren't in the original draft, and so it just seems in the interest of fairness, if some are working on things and adding them, that there should be an even playing field for others who are working on things and wanting to add them.
I think that what's on the sheet, where's Mr. Mark? Mr. Mark, the numbers that are on the new sheet that you just handed out, I assume that these are all issues that had been agreed to by the three entities.
Mr. Chair, that's my understanding as of about 45 minutes ago.
And so these are just basically updating the numbers that were originally in the bill, or what's the history here?
Mr. Chair, on the earlier spreadsheet, the 1121 layers, I forgot to get the Housing Finance, or I'm sorry, the Historical Society in there. I also had a couple incorrect numbers. What's been added since then were several of the ag ones that I believe represent Dunkey's already highlighted, as well as $1 million in Bowser. Those were items that were still in discussion at the time I did the earlier spreadsheet. So we knew there was something coming, but we didn't have numbers for those at that time.
So, Mr. Marks, everything that's on the sheet now then is agreed to.
Mr. Chair, that's my understanding. And that's from discussions with the Department of Finance, representing the Governor's office. At this
the other one, right?
Okay. I don't know if that helps Representative Greiling or not, but at the beginning we announced that there were certain items that were in a state of flux and were still being refined. And
what the hell have they been doing?
That the speaker would like any of those amendments then that were agreed to by the three through the day as they refined it to be adopted here in finance was her request was.
Mr. Chair, that's very helpful, and as long as everybody has an equal shot at bringing up amendments and working throughout the day, I think that's more than fair.
And I did mention at the very beginning of the meeting what the process would be, so if you, during the overview, discovered anything that you felt that an amendment was needed for, that the process was to be sure to contact the Speaker's office, and her and her staff then would contact the governor and the majority leader, and if all sign on, then it becomes an eligible amendment for the Finance Committee. Representative Tunkey.
Just to follow up again with Representative Greiling and point out, yes, anything that you're seeing here show up with agriculture. We met this morning in the Commissioner's Office, Governor's Office, House, and Senate, and it was a work in progress. That's what's showing up here now, as well as Representative Lanchesky. I don't want you to be carte blanche. We're done with taxes, because I know that revenue continues to work on language with us on sales taxes also, which I've seen the draft of a little bit ago in the hall. And so to say everything's done, I don't think is exactly correct. If we get agreement from everyone, I think, as you pointed out, Mr. Chair, that's why we're coming back later to add those things. That, you know, your technical stuff you're working on in other realms, I think we just need to clarify that, you know, if it's got agreement from everyone, I assume, Mr. Chair, you'll entertain it, and that's go into our working draft in the next couple hours.
That's correct. Representative Rucavina, welcome.
Chair, I'm sorry I had a previous obligation I had to take care of before I left the range, but, you know, I'm wondering, I heard you say as I was just coming in about the any amendment has to have an agreement with the governor, the speaker, and the majority leader, is that?
That's correct.
Well, 42 days, I think, or 41 days since the bridge collapsed in this state, and we couldn't get the governor and the speaker and the majority leader to agree, so how are we going to have that happen in 4 hours? Did the Constitution get amended since I left the Iron Range, or do I still have some say in this process as a duly elected legislator?
The guidelines that I was given give you an opportunity, if you have an amendment that you would like, to talk with the Speaker's office. And
well,
in the end, we have to have the signature of
Chair,
the governor. So,
yeah, I guess we do, Mr. Chair. But, you know, I'm looking at the portion of this bill that I'm supposed to have some input on, which I have had a none. And one of the things I did give leadership input on and a request for was a way to for people to file for unemployment compensation, because I'm understanding, at least in the emails I've read, that up to 60% of the businesses in Rushford area, for example, could fail. Now, you can only go online and file for unemployment insurance. So if there's no electricity and no houses and no computers, how do you go online? You drive to St. Paul to go online to file for unemployment? There's nothing in this bill that addresses that, people. And there's going to be thousands of people out of work. And I thought Democrats had been scared about working people and unemployment insurance for people to get through. And there's nothing in this bill. And I'm supposed to reach an agreement by 5 o'clock. Mr. Chair, what the hell is going on? I think there's an amendment that I have drafted, Representative Goldberg.
Well, all I can say is that that's the process that I was told we were following. So what I would suggest you do is, and the commissioner is here, he's probably somewhere.
Where
he's heard the concern. I don't know, if has that been an item under discussion, Commissioner? I think you've been involved with the discussions. Or whomever.
Well, I can have that.
That's true.
Mr. Chair, members, Paul Moe, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Employment and Economic Development.
in response to Representative Rufino's question about disaster unemployment insurance, they can apply for that with paper.
Mr. Moe, don't BS us here. Disaster unemployment insurance only qualifies if you're a person who doesn't qualify for unemployment insurance, which means you're a farmer or self-employed. There's going to be thousands of people whose businesses aren't going to be running who have to go through the regular process. So tell me what's going to happen to them.
Mr. Chairman, no. Representative Rufino, we will make every effort to make assistance available, applications available to those people.
I've been getting calls, Mr. Chair, and members, and Mr. Moe, from people down there who have been told to go online and file for unemployment costs, because that's what you have to do. Now, where do you go online without a computer, without electricity, without a house? Can you tell me that? Maybe you could do that in St. Paul. I don't know.
Mr. Moe. Mr. Chairman, Representative Rufino, I'm going to have to refer to our unemployment insurance staff to respond to that in more detail than I can.
Mr. Chairman. Disaster unemployment insurance, Mr. Hanson, only applies, and my understanding is there's an unlimited amount of money, but you have to qualify. And to qualify, you have not had to be able to get unemployment insurance. Am I wrong with that or not?
Okay, let's kind of go one person at a time. So, Mr. Moe, were you done? Mr. Hanson.
Maybe we can. I think you said you were going to adjourn. When we adjourn, maybe we can sit down, Representative Rukavina. The last thing we want is to let this not fall through the cracks. So we will sit down with you when this is done and see what we can figure out.
Okay, and that's what we'll be recessing for that very kind of thing, and maybe other issues as well. And that's the reason. So. Representative Rukavina, you may want to visit with the commissioner then and or the speaker's office and Mr. Moe. Representative Heidegger had an amendment that he would like to lay over until we reconvene at the call of the chair. So what the chair will do then, so at least we get this one amendment adopted with the new numbers, I will move that we amend the disaster relief working draft with the numbers on the spreadsheet, and I'm going to call this spreadsheet number 3, just so we have a reference point. I think it was the third one that I received. Or we can reference the time as well. Yeah, okay, the 12:35, okay. We won't call it number 3, we'll call it the spreadsheet drafted at 12:35 p.m. by Mr. Marks. Any discussion on that amendment? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'm going to ask members to remain close. As you know, there are things that are happening, and as soon as we have some things to work on relative to amendments, we will reconvene. So I would request that you stay in the state office building so we,
Mr. Chairman,
can get a quorum back as soon as possible.
One more thing.
Mr. Hanson.
Representative Rukavina, I don't mean to interrupt, but when we, yesterday, it was the legislature that asked and expressed a strong desire to meet today. It was Senator Pogemiller's letter that we didn't get till after he released it to the press that called for it today. So we assume that we'd be able to get ready and get it all done. So it was you guys that asked for it.
Mr. Chair, could I just respond to that? How many of the committee members on this committee, which is supposed to determine what we're going to do, asked to meet today at 5 o'clock? Would you raise your hand, please? Thank you.
Telling you the letter that was read through the newspaper.
With that, we are in recess to a call of the chair.
Right on.
Before we begin, the mics don't work in the center, so we've been asked by staff if you have a question. Yours work. I'm talking about folks in the center of the table here. You'll have to speak quite loudly so you, one, will be heard, and secondly, so the tapes will pick you up. Beyond that, we now have the bill before us that has some changes in it from this morning all of the changes, as I understand it now, have been agreed to by the three parties that we talked about this morning, the Speaker, the Majority Leader, and the Governor or their representatives. So we should be able to proceed. And if the authors would like to make any introductory comments, and then I thought we might have Ms. Novak walk us through what those changes are from this morning that are now agreed to. Rep. Sempalowski.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you. This morning, I walked you through the bill, and then subsequent to that, President Shumper came in, and you've heard the bill as it was originally. So what I want to do today is just, or this afternoon or evening, wherever we are, is walk you through the changes. And some of these changes came as a result of questions that were raised either in this committee or in the Capital Investment Committee. So in Article 1, in the section dealing with public safety, there was the addition of cities to counties as eligible for debris removal. There was a discussion to that effect, I believe, in the Capital Investment Committee. In transportation, we did make that change in Subdivision 2, so it now reads infrastructure operation and maintenance. Representative Earhart, I think, had raised an issue with that. The natural resources, a minor change in the headnote, makes the funding more flexible in Subdivision 4 to include non-bondable expenditures. In Bowser, there is the addition of $1 million for a bonding for erosion and sediment control. In the PCA, there's in the... In the PCA, there is a waiver for additional statutory sections, setting the match requirement for the petrol fund cleanups. Indeed, it specifies the Minnesota Investment Fund can be used for nonprofit organizations. I think this is an issue that Marsha Abner brought up to the committee, and that just clarifies that. MHFA permits the use of the appropriation for capacity building grants for certain drinking water testings, and I think this is what Representative Genius was talking about at some length, and I think this clarifies that. The Historical Society came to us, and we're going to change the word site to structure, so this can be applied to structures in southeastern Minnesota that we need to address repairs. In Human Services, we add the appropriation for the continuation of provider payments. This was a discussion that came up. I think we had a couple of members who were concerned that these provider payments with daycare needed clarification, and this does that. In the deed, this does appropriate the $3 million federal grant, so we do have the language that would allow us to access that. Article 2 is public safety match for the bridge. This clarifies that the match is both for state and local portions. Article 3 in agriculture, it provides a change of $3.7 million for flood and drought recovery. This replaces the forage and feed grants in the RFA appropriation. It also authorizes the waiver of deductions for reimbursement payments that would be caused by the flood. There's a small change in Article 3. The effective dates now are specific effective dates. And then this is out of order, but this is Article 2. In the insurance section, this adds two clauses to the list of unfamiliar trade practices that involve, first of all, stating that an insurance claim from the bridge will result in cancellation, non-renewal, or surcharge, and then secondly, failure to promptly inform an insured of this provision. Those are the major changes in Articles 1, 2, and 3. And then subsequently, there were clarifications in the summary of the tax provisions. As I understand it, all of these provisions have been taken care of in Article 1, Section 19, Article 1, Section 12, Article 1, Section 21. So I don't see anything here that looks to be controversial. This all seems to be clarification, and this has all been agreed to by the three entities involved. So, Mr. Chair, those are the primary changes in the bill from this morning.
I did have a conversation with Mr. Marks, and he identified those same number changes that you just explained. Representative Shumper, any comments before we go to questions?
Not really, Mr. Chairman. Go ahead.
Okay, and Ms. Novak, that pretty well covered the changes from your perspective, then I say.
Mr. Chair, I'd only add that we discussed this morning that one of the tax provisions, the reassessment of property, there was some controversy about how it worked, and that's been resolved, and that's been found in Article 3, Section 6 to 12.
Okay, and that, again, has been agreed to by all of the parties. Okay. With that, any questions from committee members? Remember, if you're on the inside circle, you have to speak loudly. Representative Pepin.
Senator Paulson, you just talked about the historic structure cleanup, the historic sites. And I guess my question is, what are the historic sites? Like, which sites are they? And I'm wondering why that would fall under public infrastructure, why it's so separate.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Pawlowski.
Pepin, these are sites in southeastern Minnesota. There's one in Rushford that is right on the dike. There is another that is actually near Stockton. It's the Bridges, and then there's a Bridges Museum that is close to it. These actually are run by local county historical societies, and these are sites that are buildings or bridges that have historic designation. All of them have been impacted by the flood. As I understand it, for the Minnesota Historical Society, this is language that we have used in previous disasters when we've had a site. I'm using the word site, and I should use the word structure. It's a particular structure that has been damaged, in need of repair, and this is basically stabilization. This $250,000 probably will not be all of the money that will be needed to bring these structures back up to use. I did take a brief look at the mill by Rushford on the dike, and there's significant damage to the interior of that building, and it will take some time for that building to be put back into use. The structure for the stock in the same issue holds true, so this shouldn't be anything that would be out of the ordinary.
Any further questions?
Representative Kendall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 24, line 24.8, it's part of the agricultural piece, and it talks about the commissioner in consultation with the chairs of the House and the Senate Agricultural Finance Committees. In the Senate, the House, and the Policy and Finance are the same person. But in the House, the only piece there is the House Finance, and I'm wondering why Ag Policy isn't in there.
Mr. Chair, I think we're going to yield to Representative Junkie on that one.
Well, same, Mr. Chair. I'm happy to consult with Representative Tremba too. If she takes me at face value, reason it says that is that these are, basically fiscal issues. It's appropriating the money that we've put in there for these items that are already listed there. They can't be used for anything else other than these items. So it's really just dividing up the appropriations is what we're doing.
Mr. Chair.
I
realize that there are a number of finance things that are probably more policy, but there is policy also in this piece. So,
any other questions or comments?
I think it's been past experience.
Which page are you on, Representative Heidegger?
On page 11. We're referring to the appropriates of flood and mold and impact fee and money in general. In the past, in my understanding, when there was a rise of disaster, appropriations went forward for more than 1 year. And here I see appropriations only for 1 year. I think if you look at the past, with some of the other disasters we had, it's also been 2 or 3 or 4 year windows. We have a wonderful appropriation. If you look at flood and loan impact fee, I'm checking on the numbers, it's 5,394 times. It's super. I that right now within the school district of Rushford, there's already 20 students that they've lost. So that money would not be, would not have enough money there if you could cover the students they've lost as far. That is
the if I might I just talked with Mr. Marks, and he said the idea with this language was that the K-12 finance division could deal with it during the regular session, but this would get us through the school year. If Representative Greiling wants to comment.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're really close.
So close you can't see me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Heiberg, and you're right. For other districts, and the common policy is to do it for 3 years. So next year, we'll have to remember to do it, and I'm sure we'll get help to remember to do it from Representative Schumper and Pawlowski for 2 more years.
Okay, Representative House. Okay. Representative Rukavina.
Quick question.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Fukabina, in most cases there are no administrative set-asides from the grant amount, so, but in a couple of places, and I'm not going to remember where they are right now, there was some administrative money set aside, but it's specified in just a couple places.
You see no further questions at this point. Representative Cole.
Thank you. Chairman, Representative Pawlowski or Ms. Novak, from this language in Article 2, the insurance handbook, I'm trying to understand what that's doing.
I'll check up with the next year's work so I can send this thing up
tomorrow. I'm trying to understand why we're requiring a written and an oral notice for this particular circumstance, and I'm looking at the
Mr.
Chair, could we have Representative Clark answer that? That was language that was agreed to after the first presentation, and Representative Clark was instrumental.
Representative Clark.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This came out of some very serious issues that arose from the issue, particularly affecting the children who were in the bus that went down on the bridge on 35W. And I actually have a witness here who's been here all day, Mr. Chairman. If he could just briefly explain the reason why this provision is in there, because this just came in at the last, it was just agreed to recently. And it's such a serious issue that that we decided that it should be both provided in written form and in speaking with the folks. Sometimes it's just done in written form, but we have a lot of people who are involved in needing to have the information that they cannot be threatened to have their car insurance increased or canceled, and they may not be able to understand what's being told to them if they're not familiar with, for one thing, with insurance lingo. I was talking with the commissioner, and he said a lot of people don't understand insurance lingo, but especially if you have some language barriers, that can make it more difficult. So I'm wondering if we could have Mr. Segovia provide a few comments on the need for this.
Yes, that would be fine. And if you identify yourself for the record, and if you can be very brief, because we have to act on the bill and get back upstairs, but if you could make your statement. Thank you.
Sure. I'm Francisco Segovia. I'm the director of the White House Community Center. And 60 people, including kids associated with White House, were on the bus. And that represents about 29 families, which is about 52 kids and 29 families. And we have had meetings with those families, and one of their concerns is that since those who have auto insurance, they have to claim to their own auto insurance, and some of their fear, and in some cases, some of them, when they went to their auto insurance and expressed that they were they will be bringing some claims as a result of their kids going to the doctors. a couple of insurance probably told them, or most likely told them, that their premium was going to go up. And in some cases, some of the families were concerned because Phillips is what they call a high-risk area, where if you have too many claims, they can cut off your insurance. So there is a true fear that their insurance can be either closed or cut, or their premium is going to go up. So based on that fear is that we call Representative Karen Clark, and we ask them to intervene and help us with this issue.
Okay, thank you. And this has been agreed to then by the three leaders. Representative Cole.
I'll leave it at that. I understand that there's a problem, but I think when you put it, it creates an administrative issue for insurance companies that doesn't exist today for any other similar situation. What I don't want to see is an insurance company tell an individual orally the right thing, forget to send a notice, and then all of a sudden they're brought into court and somebody decides to try to take advantage of this new language, not because they did something wrong, but because they didn't follow exactly what this new law is, which is different than what they have to do with every other bus or taxi or commuter van accident. So I just am concerned when we create these types of burdens, what we do for business. I agree that rates go up because they were at the half would be on the bridge when the tragedy occurred. But we really need to be mindful of the fact that every time we do something like this, we're creating a new opportunity for some business to if it's a potential trap. And I know that's not your intention, Mr. Clark. I'm not saying that it is, but things like that we really need to be mindful of.
Mr. Chairman, if I just may say, this was discussed, and I've met with Commissioner of Commerce a number of different times, and I guess it's considered such a serious and egregious thing that has been happening that we really want to make sure that it doesn't continue. As you mentioned, it is already against the law, but it's still happening.
Okay, we have Representative Sloan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually have a question for Ms. Novak. In terms of page 14.33, there was a language change after August 18, 2007. The current bill for evacuation, transportation, or medical or remedial services. And in the old bill, it was residential health care, child care, social, or other services. So the child care part was eliminated, and I just wondered if that's... So it was on page 14.33. The words after August 18, 2007 are different in the new bill versus the old bill. I just want to make sure, Mr. Chair, that we're covering the right services, and if they're supposed to be in there, that they're in there.
Ms. Novak.
Mr. Chair and Representative Flawick, this language was negotiated with the Department and the House and the Senate, and I don't know why they dropped that. There may be somebody here who... to speak for the department why they thought that was...
That was the Department of Human Services?
It's the Department of Human Services.
Is there anyone here from the department? Certainly not. Maybe we can check on that as things move forward.
Mr. Chair, I would appreciate that. These are payments to providers who are under contract. And by taking out child care providers, it could be a fairly hefty impact on them by not being able to get reimbursed for those services.
They requested the commissioners to be available in case there were questions. I'm surprised that there's no one here. We'll see what we can do on that. Okay, what I would, there are no further questions at this point. What I would like to do is make a motion, and then Representative Rukavina has an amendment that we'll take up next. But the put the bill draft before us. The chair moves that the disaster relief bill, reviser number 084388, be introduced as special session House File 1. And are there any other amendments, Representative Rukavina? I think you may have one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was concerned about the fact that I wanted people who might have been so severely disrupted to be able to have a real good meeting at the FEMA site and the workforce development center. After my phone discussion with Public Staffing, I believe Mr. Bull is here in the audience, and we took out any dollar amount, but according to everything, we did get exactly what the United States with current resources at the Department of Health. And Mr. Bull would come up and just reiterate that he was no need.
Mr. Chairman, members, Paul Moe, Department of Employment and Economic Development. Representative Rukavina and I had a conversation with staff after this morning's session and concluded that we could reapply existing resources and staff to accommodate this objective.
Okay. Then we have the motion before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then
Mr. Chairman, someone just raised something that there was a discussion on, and perhaps Representative Junkie can help on four, line 4.2. For some clarification on the word rural, does rural exclude, or is Representative Junkie, do you recall that discussion we had an hour or so ago?
Yes. We talked about there was some question if we left rural residences in there that some might interpret that to mean residents outside of the city limits. If we take rural out and just put removal of debris from residences and farms, that means all the residences in and outside of town. So I guess I'd offer an oral amendment, Mr. Chair, however you want to do it, if this is being amended now or if you're rewriting it on the way up, we should remove rural.
Let me...
And Mr. Chair, we have worked with the Senate on that.
Mr. Chairman, it's my...
I hear a voice from someone else.
Sorry. It's my understanding that the Senate took the rural out.
Well, Mr. Chair, again, this is the bill we'll be working on. The Senate can do whatever they want, but this is the bill we need to take.
What I was just checking on was as soon as we're done here, we want to introduce it, and I understand it's ready for the jackets, and I'm just asking if that slows anything down for introduction as to where we would do the amendment.
Or, Mr. Yeah, we could do it on the floor quickly as an oral.
Okay, I'm told that it's not jacketed yet, and we could incorporate it. So Representative Junkie moves to strike the word rural.
Yep.
Okay, and any discussion on that motion? Everybody understand it? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, any other questions or discussion? Representative Mahoney.
Chairman, I'll speak loudly. I do have some concerns as to Representative Slaw's concerns about child care being taken out on, I don't even know the page. It was
page 14.
And I know you assured us that you look at that. The question is, if this is the bill that's going to the floor,
It would be much more difficult to do it on the floor. So I'm just wondering if Representative Slawik could shed some light on what those conversations were in the back.
And as, or did you just have some? Because we've been having people work on it. Maybe you were one of the people. Okay.
There, Mr. Chair and Representative Mahoney, thank you for asking. What we found out is, as we know, it takes two of the three to agree to any agreement, and apparently the particular senator that was in negotiations took it out. And then the other parties agreed to it. So we're checking on why, but that's apparently what has been agreed to.
The senator would be
Berglund.
Senator Berglund. So that's her area. So at any rate, we're checking to find out what the story is what I understand, and we'll let Representative Slawik know as soon as we get the answer to the question. Okay, any further discussion? Representative Anderson?
Mr. Chair, the policy can answer this question. Throughout the bill, it shows here, like on page 4, where we've just been, since looking for all this rehabilitation replacement, it talks about some state transportation funds that provided under Section 17450, that gives the grantee must submit to the commissioner for final plans to reach grant money that he or they require. And then at the end of that section, it says, this section 174.50 subdivision funds are waived. I'm wondering if in waiving these things, if there's different criteria that's been set in place for the grantees as he comes to the minister or ask, other than what has been described at the beginning of that section. It's not just that section, but it's several sections throughout. I'm just asking for clarification as to what criteria they use, especially when they waive it.
Mr. Chair, Representative, when I presented the bills the first two times, I used the word flexibility. That built into this bill was a great deal of flexibility in order to make sure that these appropriations could be targeted in the most beneficial way to those communities or individuals or homes or businesses or residences. So you do see throughout this bill these waivers. Then there is some caveat about a local type of agreement, and that agreement then goes to the commissioner and is signed off on. So you're right, there are waivers, significant waivers built in order for that flexibility, and the oversight then is through the local community or municipality coming with some type of agreement to the commissioner, and then that indeed would replace what were the original criteria.
Is that caveat close
stated in the bill?
Mr. Chair, yes, it is. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, there's some clarification on the child care question, or is everybody? It's on page 8. There's some different language that was added in.
That language, I think we're still checking on.
Okay, well, it's actually in this, on page 8, 8.12. I think if you read through that, it probably clarifies the concern.
We've got Randy Chung, who's a fiscal analyst, is on his way over to talk about that issue. So he'll be here shortly. So that may help explain it, but why don't we hear from him as well?
Okay, that's fine.
Put
sure.
To rest. Are there any other questions?
Mr. Chair? Oh, Representative Hawley.
Mr. Chair, due to the quick work of staff, Sarah Benz-Culper from the committee, and Representative Thiessen and Representative Tremba, we have found the language. It showed up in a different place in the bill.
Right.
It shows up on page 8, lines 8.12 to 8.21. They just moved it to the MIF section, and they have the funds coming out of that section instead. So the language is in a different spot in the bill, and I think it will work, and thank you for your patience.
Yeah, so we're all set then?
Yes.
We can tell Randy. Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. And with that, we're all done. Meeting adjourned.